All Nebraska voters now need a photo ID to vote, so let's bring it. Bring that photo ID with you when you vote in person, or provide it when you vote by mail.
When it's time to vote, let's bring it, Nebraska.
For details, visit voterid.nebraska.gov.
Meet Bob.
Hey, Bob.
He's a four-time tire rotation champion. When he was a baby, his first words were automatic transmission fluid. Bob's so cool, he has engine coolant running through his veins. And then there's Kyle, also known as Premium Unleaded. Legend has it that Kyle can change your oil with his toes, and that he can tell your tire's air pressure just by how you're walking. He's Bob, he's Kyle, and every Saturday morning they morph together to form the greatest superhero known to man, Mr. Mechanic. Check engine lights don't stand a chance. This is the Mr. Mechanic Show on 1110 KFAB.
All right, good Saturday morning. This is the Mr. Mechanic Show. 558-1110 are the numbers to get in. Get in early. Ask me as many questions as you want about the car. About the car. That's where my level of expertise seems to be. Well, we made it through another week.
We did. Busy week.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been busy. I'm Kyle.
I'm Carl.
Me this morning is Carl from our station here at 50th and Dodge. This is your interactive call-in show. Call me with your car questions. Like I said, we'll get through it. Kind of a brisk morning out there to be working. I don't really know that I'd want to be outside working on a car. Thank God.
Chilly.
We got garage doors and heaters and everything like that to keep us going through the day. But if you are out and about this morning, we have our Lincoln Area Speedway Motors Hot Rod Swap Meet. You can get down to that. That goes on all through the afternoon if you feel like looking at car parts, some cool cars, stuff down there. Maybe check out the museum. Museum of American Speed.
Muscle.
All right, let's jump right into the calls. We got John here with a 97 Grand Prix. John, what do you got for me?
Yeah, good morning. I love your program. I've called here before and talked to you gentlemen about cars and all that. And,
well, great.
I got an issue with the grounds in this thing. The first question is, why do they have separate grounds for the map sensor, engine coolant temperature sensor, the throttle positioning switch, et cetera, et cetera, from the body grounds?
Why do they do that?
Yes, sir.
Well, location might be a thing. Aside from that, I mean, it's just basic engineering. You don't really want to, I mean, I would guess somewhere they're going to want to cut down on expenses and costs. And I mean, running, you know, a foot of wire doesn't seem like that expensive of a thing. But when you do it 20 million times, it can add up. So, I mean, that might be another contributing factor. What kind of issues are you having with these grounds, John?
Well, I'll tell you. An idle, like it's got a humongous camshaft in it. And, you know, it's got a bigger cam in it, but it's nothing like that. Like that, you know. I mean, they go, you know, it just runs like crap. It's backfiring through the exhaust, which ain't good. And sometimes it backfires through the intake, which definitely ain't no good.
Mm-hmm.
And it just runs like crap. Excuse my language, but it does.
Okay, so let's.
But I'm thinking it's the grounds.
Well, let's hit reverse here. You said you put a bigger camshaft in this engine?
Yes, sir, I did. But, you know, I've had it running good before, and then all of a sudden it starts acting up on me.
Okay, so you put the camshaft in. There was a time it ran great, and now we're to this.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you getting any kind of codes with this car?
Well, negative.
No codes at all?
No.
Hmm. Do you have any type of a scan tool that you can plug into this, like more than just a code reader, something that might give you some of the data involved in this?
I got a Snap-on scanner I bought 25 years ago. And, sir, I'm going to be right up front with you. It's got nothing but numbers in it, and I don't understand it. It's all Chinese to me. I don't understand these numbers.
Okay. Well, You got a piece of paper and a pencil handy? I'm going to let you take some notes, and I'll tell you a couple things to look for.
Okay, let me get it. Let me see here. I apologize about being, I should have did this to begin with. I apologize about being so, you know, I know you got other people to talk to and everything.
Oh, no, you were first in line.
Yeah, just a minute here. I just about got a piece of paper and a pen. Just a minute. I'm going to put you on speakerphone, okay?
Sure.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I got you. All right, are you ready?
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready, sir.
Okay, so there's a couple things I want you to look at in your Snap-on scanner, which you said is pretty old, so I'm guessing it's red, and it looks like a brick, right? And it's got two cartridges in the bottom. Yeah, that's a pretty good scanner. That'll do everything you needed to do for that car. So I want you to go into your live data stream. You know, you have your codes menu, then there's that live data. I mean, it's not actually live, but it's just your data stream. So I want you to look for mass airflow sensor, or MAF. They'll abbreviate it in there.
Yeah.
Get that going. Start your car up. Let it warm up a little bit and look at what your numbers are saying. GM is pretty good. This should have a 3.8 in it, right?
Yes, sir. That's exactly a blown 3.8.
Okay. So, you know, I don't know about, you know, the cam and the blower and everything like that you got on there, but I know on a factory car you're not going to want to see anything over 4.0 at idle. If you're seeing, you're going to want to be somewhere from 3.8 to 4.0. That's your parameter at idle for that mass airflow sensor.
Okay, which one would that be, the Hilzerts or the other side?
Well, that's just going to be your mass airflow percentage. How much air is going into your engine? You want 3.8 to 4 grams of air in your engine per minute. Or per second, I'm sorry. So, secondly, I want you to scroll down. You're going to see something that says short-term and long-term fuel trim. That's your computer's fuel strategy.
Okay.
And you're going to want to see no number. It's going to read as a percentage. So you're going to want to see something below 10%. 10% to zero is kind of where you want to be. If it's reading in the negative, you're running way too rich. If it's reading in the positive, over 10%, you're way too lean. So get a look at those things there first. And, I mean, the only other thing I can think of, if you take in a compression check on this engine, make sure everything's good.
It's a fresh engine, sir. It's 1,000 miles on it.
Well, I've seen them out of the crate with no compression. That's why I asked.
Yes, we have.
So, yeah, get a look at those things right there. Kind of see kind of what's going on. And then, you know, any more questions, by all means, let me know. You got my number here, 558-1110.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for your time. I know you got other people. Otherwise, I could chat with you some more as well. I'll get off the horn and let you guys go back to work, okay? Thank you.
You bet, John. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Yeah, that could be a tough one. Anytime you start adding stuff to an engine, I mean, you're kind of...
Were those rockers still adjustable on that one?
No. Okay. No, those are going to be a solid single torque.
But the popping through the intake almost sounds like maybe they've got a lifter collapsing too, maybe? Which is possible.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean,
or maybe they
new engines.
Maybe they just didn't tighten down a rocker arm. We've seen that too.
Yeah, those were that's a great point there, Carl. Those were a pressing stud in that head, and we've seen them pull out
of the threads, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, John, if you're still listening, I mean, while you're in your data stream, look for your misfire counter. See if there's one cylinder that might be misfiring more than another one, but all right. Yeah, I'm sure he'll get it fixed.
Yep.
All right, well. We got a couple people on hold here. We're going to take a quick break on the Mr. Mechanic Show. 558-1110 are the numbers to get in. We'll be right back.
It's time to pop the hood, boys. See what she's working with.
Driving, driving, driving. On these roads we're driving. Gonna get some gas at Bucky's.
Yeah!
Through rain, wind, and weather. The place to get together.
wishing Bob was by my side.
I love you, Bob.
All the things I'm missing, good service, food, and kissing, are waiting at the end of my ride.
Yeehaw!
Fill it up.
Drive it out.
Drive it out.
Fill it up.
Fill it up.
Drive it out.
Bucky's.
Clean it up.
Drive it in.
Drive it in.
Clean it up.
Clean it up.
Drive it in at Bucky's.
Hey, where'd we get this whip? Ow! Bob!
The Mr. Mechanic Show is brought to you by Buchanan Service Center. Professionally fixed right and fixed on time. Two locations, 79th and Dodge and 50th and Dodge in Omaha.
All right, let's jump right back into the calls. We got Smitty here with a 2011 Grand Cherokee. Smitty, lay it on me.
Man, you got me laughing already because with that last call, I want to call you Poindexter. You guys are so smart. But I've aged myself.
Wow.
But hey, we got a Grand Cherokee getting some miles on it. Probably 178, I think, is where you are. My daughter drives it. And we just dropped that thing off at the shop because she's in Kansas City, come up here. But when it rained and they had some big storms the other day, it just cut off on it. It sat in the traffic on the freeway and rush hour traffic, and it was a mess. It finally started, but it's scary. And so it's happened a few times. It happened a couple of months ago, but then it went a month and a half, didn't do it. That's why I included that it was rains.
Okay.
So we may be thinking it might be linked to water or something or moisture.
Oh, sure.
But it just cuts off, and the key, you know, the last light she sees is the one that comes up about the suspension system.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had that repaired a couple of times, and it's very expensive.
Sure.
But so I don't want to just keep throwing money at the car, but I read on Google, man, a lot of people, when they start having those problems, they just sell the car.
Yeah, and I mean, with what you're talking about, I mean, it's an electrical issue. I mean, if water's a huge contributing factor to it, electricity's arch nemesis is water.
Yep.
And
Unfortunately,
I mean, Chrysler and Jeep, I mean, they've had their trials and tribulations with issues. I mean, as far as what the problem is, you said you had it at a shop. Did they find anything? Do you know?
The last time it never gives a code.
Okay.
It only just gives that. I have a tow code checker. It doesn't give a code. No check engine light on. It does blink those lights about the, like I said, the suspension and things like that. She has to, you know.
Does it do that after the engine dies?
Yeah, as the engine is dying, it just kind of, she's been trying to, even when she drove it to keep it running, kept a foot on the gas and the brake just to kind of keep it going, because once it got down to that park idle or mm-hmm. that slow traffic idle is when it shut down. And I just can't have my baby out there, you know, on the road with a problem like that.
Sure. Well, I mean, with having no codes, I mean, it makes it really kind of tough to, you know, throw anything at it. I mean, the main thing I'm going to look at is the computer on this car. Can I pull these connections off the computer? And I mean, you can do this at home. You're not going to hurt anything. The worst case scenario, you'll reset your radio, but, you know, big deal. But pull those connections off, because sometimes we'll see corrosion inside these connectors, and if it's already corroded, water's not going to help it out any at all. It's going to break that connection. So get a good look inside those PCM connectors. Secondly, I'm going to go down to the crank sensor, which is kind of down by the starter on that particular year of Jeep. And I'm going to look for
this. Some people have replaced that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to look for the same thing. I'm going to pull that connector. I want to see what these connections look like, because it kind of hangs down there underneath the car. You know, there's no real shield around it, so it's vulnerable to water. If I find nothing there, next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get out the garden hose. I'm going to start the car. I'm going to spray that computer with water. You're not going to hurt it. It's sealed. It should not leak water internally. Does anything happen?
Okay.
Next, I'm going to go.
Yeah, you're right on the same target I was on. I used to consider myself a little shade tree mechanic, but
sure.
I just a bad businessman. Couldn't get people to pay me.
Yeah,
But I told him, take it through the car wash. I said, hey, run it through the car wash. I'll pay for the wash. Mm-hmm. Just take it through the car wash. And I said, apart from just spraying water in the whole in the engine, but I said, you know where to kind of spray. And I said, just fix whatever it is. Because, you know, we're invested in this car because we did just fix the suspension once.
Oh,
and
sure.
So, and the car's running good. It looks great. So,
yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you'll get to the end of this problem. I mean, it can't be something that nobody's ever seen. I mean, I've seen these Chryslers have a lot of breakdowns.
Well, if he says he didn't find anything, I think you'll see me on Monday or Tuesday because I'm going to have to send her back with my car.
Hey, I'll be here.
It's beyond me.
Sure thing. All right, we'll give those couple things a shot.
And because you talk to me on the radio, I'm sure you'll get me in.
Sure thing. Hey, I'll be waiting.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, Smitty, thanks a million for the call. All right, let's jump on over to Jim. Jim's got a Toyota Matrix. Jim, we don't see too many of these anymore.
Well, it's not mine. It's my daughter's friend.
Okay.
And what's happening is when she comes to a red light, when she's slowing down, and especially if the road is bumpy, it'll die on her. All the lights start coming on and flashing at her, and it'll die, and she shuts it off, and it will start back up. She says she's changed the air filter a couple times a while back, and right after she changed the air filter, it seemed to run better. But it's acting up again.
Have you headed into any shop where they could scan it or anything like that, or even taken it to the parts store and said, hey, plug in, tell me if there's any codes in my car?
Yeah, I don't think he has. My daughter just told me about it the other night.
Okay. Well, that would be the first place I would go because, you know, that's, you know, anytime we have an issue like that where multiple things are going on, the first thing I want to do is what we call a health check of the car.
Okay.
Are there any codes there? You know, codes will give you...
No check engine light staying on. You know, okay. And I think it comes and flashes on when it's in the process of dying. But
and that's what I'm looking for because, I mean, if it comes on as that's happening, it'll store a code. I mean, it's not just when the light's on, there's going to be a code in there. But let's see if there's anything stored in there. That would be the first place I'm going to lead you. Secondly, I'm going to go under the hood because you said on a bumpy road, it can also have an issue.
Right.
I'm going to go under the hood. I'm going to grab every wiring harness, every connection I can find. I'm going to wiggle it with my hands, see if I can get anything to happen while it's sitting there idling. Because it seems like, you know, after that, you know, how often does this happen?
I'm not really sure. She says it's happened a couple times.
Okay.
And so, you know, she's getting a little spooked about it, but it does start back up and
sure.
And then we'll run all right.
The other thing I'm going to tell you to look at, because you said the air filter might have, you know, maybe helped something, maybe not. Maybe it's just coincidence, but look at these throttle plates on this car. You know, from your air box, there's going to be a hose over your throttle body. Pull that hose off. See if they're dirty inside. If they get dirty, they're not going to let any air past them. And, you know, at idle or, you know, if you're going down a bumpy road with, you know, your foot off the throttle could, I guess, cause an issue.
Yeah.
But, you know, kind of take a look at those. If they need cleaned up, you know, just take your throttle body off, a little bit of brake cleaner and a rag, get it cleaned up good and see if that changes anything.
You have to remove the throttle body.
I do. On every one that I do, I mean, you don't necessarily have to. Some guys don't. You know, they'll just spray cleaner in there. But I don't like to spray any because all these cleaners that they recommend for cleaning mass airflow sensors are flammable. So I don't want to introduce any more accelerant into the intake than the car wants. That way you don't get a rich start or a big backfire on startup because you've loaded up your intake. So I always pull them off and just clean them on the bench. I mean, they're four screws and a connector. It's not a big deal.
It's no big deal. Okay.
Yep.
I haven't seen the car, so I wasn't sure how big of a project it was.
Oh, it's going to be real easy on this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Nothing much to it. But, yeah, give those things a look at, and, you know, any more questions you got my number.
All right. Thank you.
You bet, Jim. Thanks for the call. All right. We're going to take a quick break here on the Mr. Mechanic Show. 558-1110 are the numbers to get in. We'll be right back.
The Mr. Mechanic Show is brought to you by Buchanan Service Center. Two locations, 79th and Dodge and 50th and Dodge in Omaha.
All right, let's jump back into the calls. I want to make sure we get to everybody today. Let's go over to Phil with a 2018 Chrysler Pacifica. Phil, what do you got for me?
I've got a 18 Pacifica Limited that it's got about 93,000 miles, and we're experiencing some kind of hard shifting.
Okay.
It'll just slam into a gear. Took it to the Chrysler dealer. Had a full diagnosis, left it for a day and a half, and they're just telling me the only thing I got is a clunky transmission, that, you know, that 9-speed every once in a while, it'll do that. I have a little bit of problem. I tend to let off the accelerator, you know, when I'm going, and sometimes it'll give me a hard shift then. Any ideas on that? You know, I had it to the dealer, and they said there's nothing wrong with it. He said it'd have to be hard shifting all the time before the extended warranty would kick in on it. Is there anything you can do to make it shift? You know, and it doesn't do it all the time. It can go for 2-3 days.
Sure.
I can drive 200 miles, won't hard shift, come back, drive around the neighborhood, and we'll get a couple bang-bangs. So any ideas?
Well, what's the maintenance history on this transmission? Have you been servicing it right?
We don't do it every year. I take it to the Chrysler dealer exclusively, and they said they don't touch the transmission until 100,000 to change the fluid in it.
Well,
that seems a little long.
That seems a little long. Generally, I'm wanting to get in there and service the automatic gearboxes at, you know, 40, 50. Some of them even 30.
Yep.
Okay.
100,000, I mean, that's a lot of miles on some transmission sauce.
Okay.
So you might want to, I don't have my service manual in front of me right now, but I mean, I'm sure you can easily Google service intervals for this particular car. But I mean, to be honest with you, I've never heard of 100,000 on any transmission fluid, synthetic or not. It seems like a real reach. But I think the first thing that I'm going to do if it's my car is I'm pulling that pan off of it. I want to see what the fluid looks like, and I want to see what's at the bottom of this pan. If, you know, everything's clean and bright red and looks great, and I don't see any debris in the bottom of the pan, I'm going to throw a filter on and some new fluid. Now, if I do see something in there, I'm going to document it by, you know, pulling out my camcorder that I carry around in my pocket, and then I'm going to take that back to the dealership with a sample of this fluid that they say doesn't need to be changed to 100,000, and I'm going to, you know, plead my case then. But that's my advice to you. And these transmissions are generally very good. I mean, I got one in a Jeep Cherokee, and it's smooth shifting all the time. But yeah, that would be the thing. That would be the direction that I would go with it, Phil.
Okay, that's fine. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for the call. Hopefully, we helped you out there.
Well, I'm down in Phoenix on vacation, so
great.
Yeah, but
you should
otherwise
have
to. I'm from Northwest Iowa, so.
Oh, great. Good deal. Well, thanks for your call again. Yeah.
Okay.
Keep us updated on that.
Your show. Yeah.
All right. We're going to keep on with the calls because we're filling up again. Let's head over to Tim. Tim's got an 01 Silverado. Tim, what do you got?
Well, I got an 01 Silverado 2500. 104,000 miles on it, and I replaced all the brake lines because they were all bad like they always get.
Mm-hmm.
We put new tires on it, and all of a sudden it just started running like crap. And so you plug it in, and it says 7 and 8 are missing.
Okay.
Doesn't tell you why. It just says it's not firing on 7 and 8. So, of course, I changed the coils. I took the 1 and 2 and put it back at 7 and 8, no change. So it's not the coils. And so I'm kind of at a loss. I've taken it 3 places, and it tells them the same thing, but they don't want to even try and fix it.
Hmm. Okay. Well, it's a misfire. So it's going to be 3 things. Either we don't have spark, we don't have fuel, or we're not getting air. Those are the only 3 possibilities for this.
Well, it's getting fuel because the crankcase has got oil in it, of a gas in it.
Okay. So let's go back there. This is something you can do real easily. This has the 5.3 in it, I take it?
No, it's got 6 liter.
6 liter. Okay. So the LS block, same as the 5.3. Yep. So you got all your coils mounted right there on top.
Yep.
So go back to your 2 that are misfire and unplug those spark plug wires from the coil. Now I want you to find a screwdriver with a good handle on it. Don't get the one that you've been using as a chisel for the last 5 years that the metal's showing in the end. Get one with a good handle.
I get it.
Go back there by that coil. Stick that screwdriver on the valve cover. You should see a little lightning bolt coming out of there that's snapping very hard.
Okay.
If it's not intimidating to you, then you got weak spark. So if there's nothing coming out of there, then you've got no spark. So that's where I'm going to go. If you say you think you got fuel, so I'm going to go right to spark. I want to take a look at what's coming out of that coil. So let's say you have nothing coming out of that coil.
Okay, can we back up a second? Because
Sure. Well,
the one guy, you know, I replaced 1 and 2 and put it in 7 and 8 and didn't have any difference. So I took it to another guy. He put 2 brand new ones on there, and it does the same thing.
Okay, so again, let's go back. What's coming out of the end of that coil? Do we have great spark coming out, or do we have no spark coming out?
Yeah, I don't know. On the new ones, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I need to know, because if we have good spark coming out, next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take a compression check. I want to look at spark plugs. I want to ohm out a set of wires.
Okay.
And
you know what? It could be something that simple. It doesn't have any wires or plugs in it. No. Mm-hmm. So.
Sure. Yeah. Get them out of there. Get them in your hands. Take a look at them. Are they cracked? Is the electrode gone out of them? You know, are they just burned up and worn out? So.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty easy, you know, get back there with your...
How often do you change the spark plugs on that? Because it's only got 104,000 miles on it.
They're due.
Okay.
Yeah. On that truck, I mean, you probably got a single or double platinum in there. They're due at 100,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Nothing major. Okay. So, yeah, let's get back there. Let's test those quick, simple things. Okay. Anything above that you feel uncomfortable with, let me know.
All right. I really appreciate it. I've been trying to get in for a long time. I can't believe I got in today. So
yeah.
I appreciate talking to you.
Glad you did.
Good to hear from you, Tim. Yeah, let us know. You got a good engine there. So, I mean, it's going to be probably a pretty easy fix for you.
All right. Thank you much.
You bet. Have a good day now. All right. Let's jump over to Tom with a Dodge Dakota. Tom, what do you got for us?
Yeah, it's I bought this thing just for a spare in case... Got it pretty cheap for the rust bucket, but had a little bit of lifter noise, or might be the timing chain, I'm not sure. But I thought I'd put a flush in it, ran it for 10 minutes to change the oil, and oil back in, new filter, I fired it back up again, and now there's no oil pressure. I don't know what would cause that.
Well,
I didn't run it for very long.
Believe it or not, I've seen this in this exact truck. So,
really?
The oil pickup tube sits really close to the bottom of the oil pan on this. There's not a lot of clearance for it. So what I've seen in the past, and I've seen guys do this exact thing, is, you know, I take it that this truck, being that it's 24 years old, probably has a few miles on it, right?
Oh, yeah, 260.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so you put a flush in there in an engine that's probably got 24 years of sludge buildup, you know, maybe some carbon going on, and you knocked all that down to the bottom of that oil pan, and now it's plugging up your oil pickup tube.
Okay.
And generally, I'll get these oil pans off of here, and it looks like you forgot a hamburger on the grill for a day. It's just a black piece of charcoal on the bottom of that pickup tube.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, I mean, if it's a two-wheel drive, the oil pan's real easy to get off. But if you got a four-wheel drive truck, I mean, it's going to be a little bit of a chore. But, yeah, that's...
It's a four-wheel drive.
Okay. So, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a chore to get that out of there. But that's my recommendation, because, I mean, you didn't really do anything else. I mean, you didn't get in here and take the oil pump apart on this truck. So I'm guessing that this is kind of what's going on, either that or there's an O-ring on that pickup tube. And sometimes, I mean, these flushes, they get pretty aggressive, could have maybe caused an issue with that O-ring. But either way, you're going to have it off.
Okay. So just drain the oil again and if I drain the oil again, do you think that'd wash some of that out of there?
It may, but I don't know that it would be enough. I mean, if you're losing oil pressure and you know your oil pressure switch is good and, you know, everything was working fine previous to this, I mean, yeah, I think you need to get in there.
And I started up and the gauge didn't go up and it was working. Everything works, I think. That's what I was impressed about it.
Yeah, you know,
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's not the easiest job in the world. You know, if you can find a borescope or something like that, you can get in there and kind of look at it without taking everything down, you know, might be an easier route to go. But, yeah, that's the first place I'm going to go.
I was kind of wondered if I put some oil in the oil filter, would that help? I don't really want to run it anymore. I backed it out of the driveway and parked it on the street.
I'm going to tell you generally, and I've changed a lot of oil in my days, maybe more than anybody else in the world. I don't know. But the only filters I ever prime are on big diesel trucks.
Yeah.
These gas engines, they're gonna pull oil really quick, and you're not going to have a priming issue.
Yeah, I've never had a problem like that before.
So, yeah.
I've changed quite a few. Not near as many as you did, but I've changed a lot.
Well, let's go right to the source. Let's go to the bottom of your oil pan and see what's happening there.
All right.
All righty. Thank you. You bet, Tom. Good Thanks luck. For the call. All right. We're going to take another quick break here on the Mr. Mechanic Show. 402-558-1110 are the numbers to get in. We'll be right back.
The Mr. Mechanic Show on 1110 KFAB is brought to you by Buchanan Service Center. Visit us online at buchananservice.com.
Real quick, the rear drive shaft.
Okay.
So it looks like it broke off at the back with the U-joint.
Okay.
Looks like they might have frozen up or something and then just snapped off right there. So... Is that a common thing? Because I jack it up and turn the tires, and the back transmission, if that's what you want to call it, or gearbox, will turn with these. No.
But the drive shaft, the U-joint just broke.
Yeah. And then they're like frozen. Are they supposed to wobble around? You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a universal joint. That thing should be able to turn at every angle you put it at. So, I mean, yeah, they lock up and they stick and then they fall apart. That's their failure.
Right.
It's not...
It's like a fairly easy fix. They only sell it in the whole shaft.
Right.
From front to back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I picked up one of those, but I was thinking, well, what would be the problem, or is it... If you just took it off and had a front-wheel drive car.
As long as your tail shaft on your transfer case is sealed, I've seen that done more often than you'd think.
Yeah.
Especially in used cars that come from sketchy car lots that have the same problem that you do, and they want to flip it and never see it again. Yeah, I've seen this a lot. So as long as your transfer case is sealed and you're not going to leak all your fluid out the tail shaft, it will work.
I watched the YouTube video on it, and when you pull that, you know, it's not like it doesn't have a gear shaft going into the transfer case. It's just a flat spot right there. So when you pull it off, there's no fluid losing.
Sure.
At all. Yeah.
I'd say you're fine then.
Yep.
Okay, well, I got the part. Let's see what I can do. Get those bolts out, okay?
Yeah, it probably won't be as bad as you think.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. First time caller, long time listener.
Hey,
thank you.
Great to hear from you, Todd. All right, let's jump over to Jason. Jason's got a 2010 Toyota. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I've got the 2010 Toyota Crew Max. And when I fill it up, it'll shut off and not get the last 2 gallons in there.
Okay.
It's been kind of annoying. It's been going on 4 or 5 years, you know, so didn't start it off that way. I drive half the time on dirt roads.
Mm.
I was told by my brother, who's a little more mechanically inclined than I am, that he's like, you got to charcoal this filter or mm-hmm. that intern or replace that air.
Yeah.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to let your band members in Vegas, Phoenix, and Rhode Island jam like you're all in the same garage. Get gig speeds powered by fiber from Cox. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, always building better. Download speeds up to 1 gigabit per second. Cox Internet is powered by fiber and connected to the premises via coaxial cable. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply.